Jesus, you love me too much, oh.
Too much, precious love.
You know, the love of God is boundless. The love that Jesus has for us is immeasurable. And the Bible says that he that is forgiven much, loveth much. Let's show the Lord how much we love him this morning by worshiping him. Amen. Just lift up your hands and worship him. Remember where he brought you from. Remember you were lost in sin. You are in shame and disgrace. You are bound by the devil. The voice of iniquity and the tongue of reproach was against you. But the Lord has lifted you up. The Bible says he lifted me out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on the rock to stay. Do you love him this morning? Lord, we love you this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. I want somebody to just give him some praise in the house. Somebody put your hands together. Put your hands together. Give him some praise. Give him some praise in the house. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise team, awesome job here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, during a worship segment like that, you could have received anything from the Lord. You don't need for somebody to come out here and pray for you. When the praises of God in the worship time, when that's going on, you open your heart to the Lord. And, you know, you can have whatsoever you can believe God for. Amen. Amen. But I believe that the Lord is going to help every one of us before the end of the service. And, you know, you still haven't gotten that miracle. You know, you can leave here today with your miracle. Amen. Come on, somebody, respond. Amen. That's right. If we say something that resonates with your soul, it's all right to shout the victory. Amen. Now, let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you glory and honor. We thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And you give even grace to the simple. This morning, as always, Lord, let the light from the word of God shine in our hearts, illuminating our hearts to understand the mind of God. The Bible says understanding what the will of God is. And this morning, Lord, we just praise you and glorify you in the message of the Lord. And let all the saints say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I will pick up where we left off a few weeks back on the book of Ephesians. And I am going to cover, starting at chapter 4 today. But I want to just give a quick run through, a summary, just to give you context in case you weren't here the last few times. In chapter 1, we talked about, you know, what God says we are. First, he calls us saints. And then he says we are redeemed. And he says we have an inheritance. And he says we are saved by faith. And he talks about all these wonderful things that he says about us. And we established the fact in chapter 2 that we are no longer aliens, you know, but now we are part of the commonwealth of the household of God. Amen. And we don't need to be referring to ourselves as sinners anymore because God calls us saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a shift. That's a mindset shift. You know, you got to shift your mind from that. You know, we're not saying that we are perfect, you know, far from it. But God wants us to be perfect. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and 48 says, be ye therefore also perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Praise the Lord. So that's where he wants us to be. And, you know, some of these things that we see in the book of Ephesians was Paul teaching those young Ephesians who were Gentiles initially, but showing them that once you are, you know, converted and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to think of yourself as a stranger anymore, but, you know, you need to think of yourself as a child of God. Amen. And from the beginning, even when God called Abraham, we see that in Genesis 17 and verse 1, he says unto him, he said, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Hallelujah. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So from the beginning, that's what he wanted. You know, so don't say, well, we can't be that way. No, that's what God, don't sell yourself short. Amen. God wants us to walk in perfection. Now, no man is greater than his master. But every servant that is perfect, you know, when he's like his master, you know, when you are perfect, you'll be like your master. That's right. We cannot be beyond the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, so in chapter 3, we also saw that God promised us tremendous things. You know, we are built, you know, coming in from chapter 2, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And coming in there, we find out that, look, God is able to do exceeding, amen, abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I'm going to pick it up from verse 20 of Ephesians 3, and we're going to go into chapter 4. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody says, amen. Now, we see that there is, you know, there is a level of power that is working in us. And you cannot really get too much more beyond that level. We talked about that last time. So we're going to go into chapter 4. Now, this is Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be talking about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that's going to be the punchline from this chapter. There's a few other things in the chapter, but that's going to be our punchline. We're going to see what God wants us to hear. So I'm going to read through the whole chapter, you know, because, you know, we find out that, you know, people don't read the Bible anymore in church, you know, so that's why I decided to be reading these things. Just read it, you know, because there's a blessing to just reading the Word of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith he hath called you, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I'm going to talk about, for just a few minutes, you know, walking in lowliness and meekness and forbearing one another. You know, people have forgotten this. You know, people just do anything they want, you know. But walking in lowliness, this chapter opens with that. So let's talk about that for a few minutes. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was a man that was blessed by God. He didn't know it at first. God gave him all the kingdoms of the world. God gave him just about everything. And one day he walked on by down and said, is this not the glory of my brightness? You know, by the beauty of my majesty that I have created all this, I've done all these things and acquired all these things and all that, you know. And the Bible says the very hour when the word was still in his mouth, you know, by the decree of the holy watchers, it was said unto him, you know, let seven times pass over him, let him go into the bush, give him a heart like a monkey, you know, until he knows that God rules in the affairs of men. Amen. And at the end of his days, you know, his reason came back to him and said, now I therefore praise and extol God Almighty, whose works are done in truth. You know, and he said, look, you know, he doeth what he will in the armies of heaven, and nobody can say unto him, what doest thou? And moreover, he said, and all those who walk in pride. Hello? All those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar found that out. And we saw that was a great lesson that God put us, for us to walk in lowliness. And I want to read us some verses of the scripture to help us put our mind frame, you know, into walking in lowliness. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Let's read that. The Lord has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Somebody say amen. All right, I want you all to read this verse with me. But I want to make sure that I'm carrying the people along today. So let's read it together. It's on the board. It's over there. Read it with me. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. So that's walking in lowliness. You know, that's what the Bible tells us, you know, opening with this book of Ephesians chapter 4. He opens right away and tells it to us. You know, so I want to make sure that we do not forget that we need to walk in lowliness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me also read Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When you fear the Lord and you walk in his ways, you would most certainly walk humbly. Because we are told how God, even though Jesus was highly exalted, Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How though he was in the form of God, yet he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Hallelujah. And he humbled himself. You know, he stripped himself of nothing. Jesus never tried to make himself big. As a matter of fact, every time, you know, they would even tell him, you can read in the book of John chapter, seven, his disciples would be telling him, say, look, you can't do these things and hide yourself. You know, any man that does these things, I want to be known, put yourself out there. And he said, no, don't worry about it. My time's not yet, you know. And every time he would heal the sick or would do something, most of the time he'd say, look, tell it to no man. Just go your way and so forth. But of course, they broadcasted it. And he didn't, you know, and the hypocrites and the Pharisees of his day, they would come to him and say, you know, show us a sign. Show us a miracle. Do all of these things. And he would do no such thing. You know, because he didn't care to show off to anybody. Amen. But after they were gone, then out of compassion, he would heal the sick. Amen. Praise the Lord. He healed the sick out of compassion, never for a show. But that's a radical departure that we have today, you know, what we see in the church. So walk in lowliness, you know, and then look at the next thing that he said, you know, endeavoring to keep the unity of a spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. That means it's not going to be easy. You know, you have to labor at it. You have to work at it to keep the unity of the Spirit. Well, you know, unity of the Spirit, we're going to talk about it when we get into the verses 10 through 13 there. You know, we're going to find out that unity of the Spirit is something that is so critical. Now, there is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. You know, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Now, remember, there is one body. So let me take a minute and talk about the body. You know, you look at yourself. Yeah, you've got members of this body. There is the head. You know, of course, you know, this brain is in there. You may not be able to see it with your physical eyes. The eyes are there. The nose is there. The ears are there. The hands, the arms, the limbs, the legs, and all these things. You know, they're all there. But they all have to work together. Amen. Amen. Now, if all of a sudden the eyes one day say, well, you know, I'm sick and tired of being the eyes. I want to be the legs. Or I want to be the arms. That's not going to work. Amen. The eyes have to do the seeing. The ears have to do the hearing, you know. And as a lesson to be learned there, people, the church of God has forgotten the simple things, you know. Somebody needs to stay in their role wherever God called you to be. Don't try to be like somebody else. There's one body, and it all works together in unison. Praise the Lord. You know. So, when Jesus died and he rose again, listen to this. You know, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ that is in your life. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, he that ascended or descended is the same that also ascended up into heavens that he might fill all things. Amen. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Look at all of these things. Look at the reason why he has all these wonderful ministerial offices there. Apostle is there, prophet is there, evangelist is there, pastors and teachers are there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, we got to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, even as it says in Corinthians, and as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, and look at verse 13. I'm going to take a little bit of time and dissect this verse because I noticed that there's been a lot of misunderstanding about this verse. Now, all these ministerial things. So let me read verses 11 through 14. I'll read it all together, all at once, then I'll stop and I'll explain it so that you get the flow. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, let me keep reading, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Notice, every part have their own effectual word. You know, make it increase of the body, not of the part. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of the body in love. Amen. Now, let me go back to verse 13. I want to explain this. God has done these things and put forth and established these ministries in the church, not the local church necessarily, but in the body of Christ. You know, we can't have pastors, you can't have apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, all in the local church. That's not what he's talking about. But in the body of Christ, you know, amen. And just like the body has many members, you know, and it's still one body, the same thing with what God is doing here, you know. And if God were to put all these gifts and everything in one person, then where were the body? If one person is the apostle, and he's also the prophet, and he's also the evangelist, and he's also the pastor, and he's also the teacher, then where will be the rest of the people? No, God doesn't do it like that, you know. So people who think that, he put all of these things on one person, no, that's not what God said. But it's in that church. May not even be in your local church, you know. That's why you got to find out what God is doing elsewhere. You know, he may have pastors, you know. Of course, we know we have pastors in local church. That word is so loosely used these days, you know. But we have, you know, teachers, you know, and so forth. Even in the book of Acts chapter 13, it said there were certain prophets and teachers, you know. And they, you know, at Antioch, they, you know, there were teachers and so forth. So we have all these things there. But look at what he said. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, I want to explain that first phrase. In unity of the faith here is not the goal. Because it says we are coming in, not we are coming to the unity of the faith. There is something too that we'll come to later. We are coming in the unity of the faith. We are coming in the knowledge of the Son of God. Here's what we are coming onto. This is the goal. Onto a perfect man. And onto the measure. See, what is the perfect man? You know, well, the babies, when we started the book of Ephesians, I talked about, you know, when you have a baby who's born, the child of a monarch, they don't know who they are, but they have to be trained to grow into stature. They will even be trained, you know, if they are in war times and so forth, in the olden days, they'll be trained in the act of war and all that. They will be trained how to do various things, and they will be trained to know who they are, you know, so. But when they become a real full-fledged warrior or something, they become like the perfect man. They are onto the measure of the stature of who they should be. That's what God is talking about. So the goal is to come to a perfect man. But the means by which we get there, listen to me, folks. The means by which we get there is through unity of the faith. Now, unity of the faith is not the goal in this verse. Read the grammar. The grammar is we're coming in the unity of the faith to something. So it's not the unity of the faith we're coming to. But if we do not have the unity of the faith, we're not going to get there. Hello? That's right. We're not going to get there. Because we got to be in the unity of the faith. You know, we got to be in the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, and with the unity of the faith, and the increasing knowledge of the Son of God, he now brings us unto a perfect man. Now, we can pray for revival all we want. But if we don't have the unity of the faith, you know, like Paul, he said, look, fulfill ye my love and so forth. Let me read it to you. Philippians. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. Let me just read one quick verse here. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Remember, that's that same lowliness again. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, we don't find that in the church today. And I'm talking of this church exactly. When I use the word church, I'm talking of the body of Christ universal. You know, we don't find that today. You know, that somebody will esteem themselves or esteem the other person better than themselves. You know. But here is a caution from the Spirit of God. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now, what is vainglory? Well, in the night vigil on Friday, we were talking about this as we studied Matthew chapter 6. Now, vainglory was described there in so many ways. You know, when somebody does something, give their arms and they want to be seen, or when they do something for the Lord and they want to be seen of men, well, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. You can't get the reward from men and also get it from God. You get it one place or the other. Amen. If you want the reward from men, fine. Show off everything you are doing and so forth like that. You know, then you have the reward from men, but you don't have the reward from God. But if you do your thing in secret unto the Lord, never minding whether somebody is seeing you or not, then your Father that seeth in secret, he shall reward you openly. Amen. You know, so that's the premise, you know, of walking in lowliness of mind. You know, not necessarily, you know, I know they didn't have social media and all of these things and so forth in the days of Jesus, you know, but you know, and that can be, all that stuff can be used for good. The media, multimedia can be used for good, but it can also be used for vain glory. Hello? Yeah, it can be used for vain glory. You know, where somebody wants to draw attention to themselves. The Bible says we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we your servants for his sake. Amen. You know, so whatever we are doing, the attention must be drawn to the Lord. The moment you draw attention to yourself, and even in your mind, you see, because, you see, You know, Bible says that all creature is open before him with whom we have to do. He seeth everything. He knows what's in the heart. And if in the heart, you know, we want to be seen of men, you know, Bible even says in Matthew chapter 6 that some people standing, you know, when it's time to pray, you know, or when it's time to go to fellowship. We're not talking about prayer meeting. We explained that in the night vigil on Friday. But, you know, let's say we are like this in the church and so forth, and somebody stands up here in the corner. It's not even time to pray. We're preaching the word. And they begin to blast. They begin to pray. They begin to do stuff, you know. Or, you know, when it's time to pray, they pray for hours just to be seen of men. Well, Jesus said, well, you know, that's what the hypocrites do. He called them hypocrites. You know, they like to stand in the streets, corners, and so forth like that, and to be seen of men, you know, and they make long prayer and all that stuff just to be seen. Well, there's nothing wrong with long prayer. Jesus prayed all night long, you know, but if it is to be seen of men, then they have their reward. Amen. Amen? That's right. But the real reward comes from God when you enter into your closet and you don't care whether people know or don't know, and you are doing the thing that you are doing for the Lord. Then the Lord that sees in secret, he will reward you openly. Now, the measure, see, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a message by itself. And I think I preached something like that some years ago. It's on the website. But how do you get there? The first thing is we got to be in the unity of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, look, be in singleness of heart. Oneness of purpose, you know, that we with them one mouth speak the same thing. That's one thing. You got to be in the unity of the Spirit, and you got to have the progressive knowledge of God. That's how it gets you there. And if you want to look at the stature of Christ, you look at what Jesus was, you know, and dissect his ministry, try to understand it. Because here was Jesus. I don't have time to read all the Bible verses. I'm just going to paraphrase it for time, you know. But here was Jesus, you know, in the very early days of his ministry, before anything at all, he went to John the Baptist to be baptized, you know, and he hadn't done a single miracle, at least that was recorded. Maybe he did some miracles in the house and so forth like that, but he hadn't done anything publicly, you know, and coming out of the water and so forth, the heavens opened up. Hallelujah. And here comes a voice and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him in whom I am well pleased. You know, now, why is he his beloved son? Why is God giving glory and credit to him when he hasn't even shown any miracles? He hasn't even done anything. I mean, people didn't even know who he was, but God knew who he was. Amen. Because he humbled himself and was 100% obedient to the voice of the Father. What the Father said to do, he did. And the Son did nothing by himself except that which the Father showed him. And in his 100% obedience, God was already pleased. Amen. It wasn't because of the miracles. Now, today, now I love miracles just like the next guy. You know, maybe even more than the next guy. You know, but today, people think that it's all about the miracles. And it's all about the vainglory and show off and so forth like that. Well, Jesus didn't do any of those things, but yet the Father said, this is my beloved son. Hallelujah. Now, of course, after the Father said that, he now went on and did incredible things, which nobody has matched up to today. Praise the Lord. To show you that, yes, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, Acts 10 and 38. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So miracles are real and they cannot be denied. But we want to make sure that we're walking in lowliness of heart, of our heart, you know, and so forth, and not in vainglory. Now, so the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ is to see how Christ conducted himself. And if we can get there, or even approximate, you know, the stature of Christ, we're going to be great. You know, the Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that, you know, Christ is the express image of God. You want to see what God is like? You look at Christ. Amen. And he showed it to us. He was humbled himself and so forth. You know, I mean, they did all kinds of things. Remember, for by him were all things made. In Colossians chapter 1, you know, he made all things, whether in heaven or on earth or anywhere else. And yet, when he stood there, he went as a lamb, you know, silent as a lamb to the slaughter. They slapped him, they mocked him, they put all kinds of things on his head, you know, to pierce his body and so forth, you know, but yet he was silent, you know. And he showed us how to do it, you know. And no wonder, You know, the Bible says God has highly exalted his name. Amen. And giving him a name that is above it. Look, you know, read the story of Abraham in Genesis 10, and then read the story in 11, and then read the story in chapter 12. In Genesis 10, God began to talk to Abraham and told him that, look, I am going to make you great. It wasn't Abraham that wanted to be great. God told him, I am going to make you great. Praise the Lord. Now, greatness is from the Lord. You know, but in chapter 11, the people wanted to be great by themselves. They said, well, you know, let's build this tower to heaven and let it reach the top of the heavens and so forth like that. And God said, no, I'm going to scatter all of you. Amen. So the greatness that we try to ascribe to ourselves many times, it really, you know, doesn't, you know, cut it with the Lord. But when the Lord wants to put greatness on somebody, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 6, we are told that God, wanting to bless Abraham and to show us the immutability of his counsel by two things in which he couldn't lie, God said, surely blessing, I will bless you. He looked to heaven. He looked to earth. Because when you swear, you have to swear by somebody greater than you. So God also wanted to swear by somebody greater than him. Well, so he searched for everywhere, you know, and he couldn't find anybody greater than him. Amen. So he swore by himself. Hallelujah. That's right. And he said, that's it. And if anybody come against you, I will be against them. I will be an enemy to your enemies. Hallelujah. These were not things that Abraham was even looking for. You know, God put it upon him. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let me show you something here also about this lowliness. You know, because it is so important. Luke chapter 16. And let's read our verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. You know, so when we are doing things before men, Bible says God knows your hearts. Amen. You know, why? For that which is highly esteemed among men, the things like accolades and various things, you know, that people enjoy, those things that are highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Hello, somebody. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Now, God has his own way of making people great, you know. But, you know, for you to be great, you got to be the least. That's what Jesus said. You know, the disciples said, well, tell us who's going to be the greatest in heaven. Who's going to sit at your right hand and your left hand and all this kind of thing. And Jesus said, what? You know, he said, look. And he brought a little child. Brought the little child aside upon his lap and said, look, except you all be converted and become like this little child, you will in no wise. Because the little child is never trying to magnify themselves. They're just a little child. And Jesus used that and he said, look, you know, if you will be great, then be the servants of all. Amen. And in John chapter 13, the Bible says that Jesus, knowing that his time was come, and knowing all things, and knowing whom he have called, and those who he will betray him, you know, having fulfilled the will of the Father, he got up from after the meal that day, took a towel, and took a bowl of water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, that's Jesus. Oh, that's my, you know. And he washed everybody's feet. Of course, when he came to Peter, he always has a big mouth about everything. You know, hey, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet, you know. And Lord said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you are no part of me. But say, Peter said, my feet? Oh, no. Wash not only my feet. Wash all my head, my hands, everything. Jesus said, don't worry about it. You know, he that is washed is already clean. Whether it's your feet I wash or whatever. And Jesus spoke to them and said, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you, but you are not all clean. Praise the Lord. The washing of water by the word is what makes us clean, folks. And Jesus said, if I being your Lord and Master, you call me Lord and Master, and he says, so I am. And if I, being your Lord and Master, have taken towel and washed your dirty, stinking feet, you ought also to do the same for one another. Can you say, praise the Lord? Jesus showed us an example. And it wasn't he didn't spiritualize it. He did it literally speaking. He actually literally took a towel. He didn't just say, okay, wash one another's feet. And people would take it, you know, oh, we're just talking something. No, he physically, literally did it. Because these people didn't have cars in those days. Many of them didn't have camels to ride on. They're always walking around. Their shoes sandals were dirty and everything, filthy and all that. And Jesus washed their feet. Praise the Lord. Now, if the Lord came in here today, physically, made an appearance to us and said, I want to wash your feet. Well, you know, I don't think that most people, maybe not in this church exactly, but most people in the church today, if they saw a vision where the Lord appeared and said, they want to wash their feet, they probably would say, that can't be the Lord, and begin to cast that devil out. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I can't be the devil. Because, you know, it's such a lowly thing that it doesn't resonate with people. You know, people want to be exalted. You know, they don't like lowly, easy going, simple things anymore. You know, but that is the way to greatness, folks. Amen. So, if you want to really be great, don't even think about being great. Hallelujah. The moment you think about being great, you already missed the mark. Hallelujah. If you want to be great, just think about being the servant of the people. That's how you would do it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, let me go back to this chapter and finish up. I can see time's running out. Let me finish up. Let's go back to this chapter. You know, I went off on that subject, but I think it was good. Amen. If you believe it was good, say amen. That's right. Now, let me finish up in Ephesians chapter 4. I am going to talk about the new man for just a minute. You know, we've talked about this. We've talked about the body, how it works together. We'll pick this up later on also. But let me cover, I want to finish this chapter. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Don't be in the vanity of your mind. How many times is going to say this thing? You know, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That's a word that most people don't know. Anybody know what lasciviousness is? Lasciviousness is behavior that is predicated on thinking about sexual immorality. That's what lasciviousness is. It's a behavior is driven by thoughts of sexual immorality. That's lasciviousness. Now, you know, that should not even be once named among the children of God. Amen. To walk uncleanness with greediness. Now, greediness, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these things are the work of the flesh. And God will have no part of it. Because ye have not so learned from Christ. You know, let all these things be far from you. Now, if so be that ye have heard and been taught of him, as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off. You know, so we're going to talk about the new man, the old man and new man for just a minute. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Get rid of it. Because it is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So get rid of that. You know, and be renewed. Amen. In the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man. Wow. Put off the old man and put on the new man. The new man is created in righteousness. He created after God. That means in God's likeness. The new man is created in God's likeness, in righteousness, amen, and true holiness. That's how the new man is. So if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. You know, when you turn your life over to Christ, you have this new man inside of you, and it is already righteous, and it's walking in holiness. But if you don't stay in the light, the next thing you know, you're going to walk off the rails and go in the ways of the flesh, you know, and so forth. You know, but that new man was created in righteousness and true holiness already. Amen. There's nothing that you are going to do to become holy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God puts that holiness in you, but you must walk in that holiness. So when he said, be ye also holy, that means walk in the holiness that he has already put upon you. Because in yourself, in myself, we could never attain unto it. Now, wherefore, put away lying. Putting away lying. Some people tell lies all the time. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Because we are members of one another. Did you ever know that in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that whosoever maketh or loveth a lie shall be cut off and cast into the lake of fire. That's deep, you know. Making and loving a lie. Wow. You know, speak not lying one to one another anymore. Speak the truth to one another. Praise the Lord. Let your yea be yea. And let your nay be nay. People ought to be able to say, look, if he says it is so, it is so. People ought to be able to say that about you. If you say it is so, can people say it is so? You know, so let your yea be yea and let your nay be nay. Praise the Lord. These are the things that are going to get us into the nature of Christ, folks. You know, I mean, people want to be great. People want to walk miracles. People want to raise the dead. That's wonderful. But this is the way that you are going to do it. You know, you're first going to be obedient. Remember, you know, you say, what does the Lord demand of you? To walk in lowliness, but to keep all his commandments and to do that which he has given unto us in all of his statutes. Praise the Lord. Now, be ye angry and sin not. Well, it's okay to be angry, but don't mingle your anger with sin. Sometimes you can be angry for the right cause, but don't mingle your anger with sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a literal commandment, folks. Literally. It means if you're angry right now, with whoever. You might even be angry with your spouse. You know, whatever. You're angry with your children. You're angry with your parents. You're angry with a coworker. You're angry with whoever. You know, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Praise the Lord. You know, get rid of that anger. You know, settle it before the sun goes down. Don't even wait until the sun goes down. The moment you realize it, you know, deal with it and flush it out. Amen. Just flush it out. You know, be void. Let your conscience be void of offense toward all men. Hallelujah. You know, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any place. Don't let the devil, don't even, you know, if you give the devil 1 inch, people say, you know, you give somebody 1 inch, you'll take a mile. Well, I guarantee you, the devil will take more than a mile. Praise the Lord. If you give him any place at all, you know, and how do you give the devil place? Well, somebody come to you and say something about somebody else, you know, that is unsavory, that is not very good. That's giving devil place already. Get that thing out of there. Amen. You know, Proverbs says, look, you know, somebody that frowns, you know, on a tale teller, that would be the end of it. You know, don't come in and let somebody, you know, biting, bitterness, you whispering and saying things and so forth, you know. Some people even couch it with prayer. They say, oh, let's pray for that sister. Or let's pray for that brother. You know what they did? They did this, they did that. Don't give place to the devil. Amen. Get rid of that spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know what Jesus would say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, people are not bold enough to say that these days. I mean, Peter, he was one of the favorite disciples. In fact, just before then, Peter was the one that had the revelation. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Everybody said one thing or the other. Then he said, okay, fine. Who do you guys say that I am? And Peter said, look, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow. He said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You know, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. You know, and he said, look, upon this revelation, that's what the rock is, not Peter. Upon the revelation of who I am, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. That's the revelation that holds the church together. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And right after that, Jesus began to tell them, you know, how he's going to go to Jerusalem and be killed and so forth. And Peter took him, you know, and began to rebuke him. He said, Lord, be it far from you.
No, no, you can't do this. I mean, you are the Christ.
And Jesus said, Peter, thou savorest not the things of God, but of man. Peter, he faced him squarely. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. How many of you can be bold enough to say that to a gossiper and a backbiter and somebody, you know, that's sowing discord among brethren? Hello? Don't give place to the devil. Praise the Lord. Also, in your personal life, don't give place to the devil. Listen to the message from 2 weeks ago. Never give up and never give in. Don't let the devil tell you anything. You know, if the Lord puts something in your mind that you can do, don't let the devil tell you you can't do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let him that stole steal no more. Can you believe that Paul is writing to Christians that he called saints? And some of them are still stealing. You young folks, you know, the book of Proverbs says, you know, he that stealeth and robbeth his father and mother and say, it's nothing. He said, is the companion of robbers. That's right. Hello. So if you say, oh, yeah, you know, you just steal your mother's, you go into your mother's wallet when she's not looking and you take her money and all that, you know, and so forth. That is stealing, folks, you know. If you are doing that, do that no more. Amen. Let him that stole steal no more. You know, and even grown-ups steal too, you know. People are caught shoplifting all the time, you know, and all kinds of things. You know, it's not just kids, you know. People do all kinds of things, you know. But let everybody walk with their own hands and doing the thing which is good so that you also will have enough to share with others. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's how we should do and not be, you know, not be even caught. Now, verse 29 is very important. I have to do this before I close. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. In other words, let the words that come out of your mouth be full of grace and be seasoned with salt. Don't have any corrupt communication. You know, anything. You know, remember, you know, evil communication corrupts good manners. You know, don't even do it. Don't even say anything that is contrary with your mouth. Praise the Lord. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, when you let corrupt communication come to your mouth, when you go along with something, you know, and you don't reject it and deny it, you know, and get rid of it, you're part of it, you know. If you do all of those things, the Holy Spirit might be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, finally, let all bitterness. Now, some of these things that he's going to talk about here, these are the foxes that spoil the vine. The true revival that we are asking God to send. These things that he's going to talk about in this chapter 4 of verse 31 of Ephesians, these are the things that will spoil the revival. That is spoilers. Bitterness. Wrath. Anger. Clamor. Just, you know, flying off the handle for no reason. Evil speaking. That's bitterness, you know, is there. You know, that's gossip is there. That's backbiting is there. Speak evil of no man, you know. Let all these things be put away from you with all malice. Amen. Malice is the intention of causing harm. That's what malice means, you know. Doing hurt to somebody. That's what malice means. If you do something with intention, you know, then that's malice. Put all those things away. Be the new person that God wants you to be. And be ye kind one to another. And tender-hearted. Praise the Lord. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, forgiveness, unforgiveness is one of the greatest spoilers. If you don't have, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, not only will you be spoiling the plan of God for revival, you will also be putting yourselves in line for God's wrath. Because you have to read Matthew chapter 18. I don't have time to read it. But the steward that did not forgive his fellow servant, after he himself was forgiven of much more than that, you know, the Lord of that servant said to him, you wicked and miserable and, you know, mean servant, should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had on thee? You know, and he said, look, deliver him to the tormentors. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. When the Lord will say, deliver that person to the tormentors. That's a dangerous place to be. Why? Because of his unforgiveness. That means that person's prayer could not be answered because he had unforgiveness in his heart. That means tormentor is like the devil. Give him over to the devil. The spirit of infirmity, the spirit of, buttressing and all kinds of things the enemy can put upon you for no reason because of unforgiveness. Therefore, cleanse your heart and mind today. Amen. I want us to stand up to our feet right now. If you have any aught against any man, I'm going to ask you to pray right now. You know, this was the tail end of this verse, you know, but let's start with it in our prayer. Our relationship with God is based upon forgiveness. If God didn't forgive our sins, we could not have been children of God. You know, so forgiveness is so critical. The principles of Christianity and so forth, they are based upon forgiveness. And someone said, no, I can never forgive him for that. Well, maybe you've never been really born again. Amen. You know, nobody that is born again should ever say with their mouth, I can never forgive that person. Well, be careful now, because the angel of the Lord is watching when you say those things. You know, so except you truly forgive one another from the bottom of your heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Now, I want you to raise your hands and pray. Search your hearts this morning and say, Lord, if I have anything. Now, just think back. Just release them today. Yeah, that's right. Anybody, it could be a co-worker, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a child, it could be a neighbor, it could be somebody in the church that pissed you off, you know, whatever. You know, just release them today. Amen. Release them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just release them. It's really not that hard. Just ask the Lord to help you. You know, the Bible says Jesus was teaching them to pray. And one of the things he said is, look, forgive us our trespasses because we forgive others. Well, you should pray and say, Lord, help me to forgive others. Help me that I should hold no grudge, no bitterness, no malice, none of these things in my heart against anyone in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we want to pray that God will help us. And I'm going to pray this prayer. Let's pray this prayer together today. Father, we thank you for your word in the name of Jesus. We pray that the Lord will give us that spirit of lowliness. Hold the music for just a minute. Hold the music for just a minute. We want to pray that the Lord will give us a spirit of lowliness. Hallelujah. Lowliness in our hearts. To walk humbly before the Lord. Not to do anything in strife or vainglory. Not to allow devil any inch in our lives. Not to give place to malice, to rancor, to strife, and so forth. Not to let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. But that we may grow in the knowledge of him unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is our prayer today. Hear us, O Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. So we did that. You may be seated. We did that like a teaching. So I rushed through it all and so forth like that. Every service, of course, is different. Sometimes we pray for the sick. And sometimes we pray for deliverance and different things. But today we are teaching on this. And, just study the Word of God and reflect on it. And God's going to bless you.